Welcome to the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. My name is Paul Morrison, and I'm your host today. We're very excited to release new content every month, and we are so thankful that you would take time out of your schedule to listen. We would so appreciate it if you could rate and review this podcast on your podcast app, because it really does help people find us. Now, today is going to be a little bit different. We are in the middle of a series talking about how to deal with difficult people. And Pastor Darren, who would usually be sitting in the guest chair, well, he's taking some extended time off right now. And we have Mick Nelson joining us. Mick Nelson is the director of discipleship here at Broadway Church. Mick has almost 40 years of pastoral leadership experience, so he is very qualified to continue teaching and talking about how to deal with difficult people. Mick, why don't you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the invitation to be with you today. I've had a lot of opportunity to serve in a variety of different leadership positions over the years, and so I have been in small churches and large churches. I've been a youth pastor. I've served as the lead pastor, the associate pastor. I've been responsible for children's ministry. I've been involved as an academic dean. And so my experience, Paul, is across all of that history, challenging relationships are wherever you go. Mm-hmm. Dealing with difficult people show up in all of these different venues.
Definitely.
And so the better our skills and learning how to handle difficult people and challenging relationships. And by the way, let's not forget, Paul, that sometimes you and I can be the difficult person.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So we need to keep that in perspective. But the better our skills, the better our people skills are, the more effective we'll be in leadership.
Exactly. And that's our goal here at the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. Okay, so before we begin the teaching today, I might encourage you to pause this and go back and listen to episode 1 and episode 2 if you haven't heard them, because in those two episodes, we discuss what is and what isn't a difficult person, and we also deal with the first two of the four difficult people. So last month, Darren led us through discussing Toxic Tony. Toxic Tony isn't a person that's toxic because they disagree with you, but what makes them toxic is how they display and communicate their disagreement. We said with a toxic Tony, the best thing is to respond directly, respond respectfully, but firmly to their words and actions. We said to clearly communicate your perspective. We said listen to their perspective and ask clarifying questions when possible, like what did you mean by that or where did you hear that, those type of questions. And finally, we said don't waste any unnecessary emotional effort worrying about them or chasing after them. The second toxic person that we talked about last time was Carl the Curmudgeon. This is a guy that can initially be mistaken as a toxic Tony, but if toxic Tony is a grizzly bear, then Carl the Curmudgeon is more like a teddy bear. We said the best way to deal with a Carl the Curmudgeon is to befriend them, to listen to them, to validate their concerns whenever possible. We said you should try and give them some inside info or a heads up whenever you can. Ask them to speak to an issue that you might be discussing, of course, without betraying any confidences or anything like that. And finally, we said keep them accountable for their words and actions and make yourself accountable to them for your words. And that brings us to our third difficult person we are discussing, and that is Armchair Arnold. Pastor Mick, why don't you tell us a little bit about Armchair Arnold?
Okay, thanks, Paul. Well, Armchair Arnold, or Armchair Alice, as the case may be,
yes,
is somebody who has expertise maybe beyond what you have and is a part of your organization or a part of your congregation. They could be a retired pastor who has years of experience of their own. It could be a missionary who has now made their home in your congregation. It could be a faculty member with higher qualifications than you have. It could be a high-powered business executive in the congregation or a former board member in the congregation. But this is somebody who is a leader in their own right, but maybe isn't serving in an official role of leadership at the moment. And Armchair Arnolds and Alices have a following in the congregation because people recognize their track record of accomplishments in their field. And the Armchair Arnolds and Alices of our world can be vocal in their opposition or passive-aggressive in their opposition. And sometimes we figure that they are against us, but sometimes they just bring a wealth of experience and a certain way of thinking about things and how they should be done. And they have enough leadership savvy to actually step up and say what's on their mind. And that's what makes them challenging sometimes to deal with. And every once in a while, I find when I'm dealing with an Armchair Alice or an Armchair Arnold, they get a hearing in the congregation or the organization I'm serving because they make some kind of sense. Like, these are people that have some accomplishments under their belt. They're people who have something to say. The only problem with them is sometimes they don't say it what you want to say, and they don't say it at a time you want them to say it.
Okay.
And so that makes it a challenge. So if these people are silent, you know they're still thinking, so you're wondering, where is this going? Or sometimes they can be far more aggressive and basically challenge everything on the basis of what their current experience has been.
Now, so why don't you give us some tips right now or some best practices when dealing with the armchair Arnold or Alice's, responding to them in the world that we live in, whether we're leading in a church or leading in a vocation.
Okay. So let me just set this up by telling you the story of a conflict I had between an armchair Alice and an armchair
so
Arnold.
So this is a real world thing that happened in your life.
Yes.
This is great.
And I got caught in the middle.
Okay.
So on the one hand, I had a high school principal of multiple years of experience who very much believed in public education and had all kinds of credentials and was, by everybody's estimation, a terrific principal in the neighborhood. But in my congregation at the same time, I had an armchair Alice who was an expert in the area of homeschooling.
Okay.
And she had done all kinds of research in the area of homeschooling. She knew all about it and what it did. These people had two different ways of looking at the world. And I had three children.
Oh, the battleground.
So all of a sudden, as the lead pastor in that particular congregation, I was put in the situation of, well, who do I listen to? Mm-hmm. Am I going to support the value of public education, or am I going to take up the cause of homeschooling? And so I was sort of in this double bind. I had two people with strong opinions, both of whom were respected, and both have had some acumen, and yet somehow or another I had to navigate my relationship with both of them. So how do you respond to these kinds of people in your world? Well, number one, you need to treat them with the respect that they've earned and they deserve. Recognize them for the expertise they have and the fields that they have. It may not be expertise that you have, but respect the fact that they may know some things you don't. And so make a point of recognizing the fact that, you know, they have got this experience and they have this insight. These people are leaders, Paul. They've earned our respect and they should deserve a fair hearing. And then secondly, make a point of meeting with them. Like, you know, let's consult them. If you've got an armchair Alice or an armchair Arnold, draw them close to you and pick their brain, get their interest. They've got experience that you don't have. So why wouldn't you want to hear what they have to say? If there's anything at all that they have to say, even 10% of which is really valid, it could be a game-changing 10%.
Sure.
So that's what I think I would do, recommend when it comes to responding to these kinds of people in your congregation.
Now, as we're talking, I'm thinking, I'm remembering back to Colin's book, Good to Great, where he talks a lot about being the dumbest person in the room. Trying to learn from the people that are in the room with you. And so you're saying with an armchair Arnold and armchair Alice that there's a lot that we can learn. And if we don't take the posture of being the smartest person in the room, we often are the leader. And so we are required, or the decisions fall to us. And that's important. But that doesn't mean that we have to be the smartest person in the room. We can learn from those around us, and with an armchair Arnold or an armchair Alice, if we recognize their accomplishments, if we can lean and draw on those things, then that's really important. Now, I also kind of heard you say something that Darren said last month as well, talked about meeting with people. Boy, we're doing a lot of meeting with people, aren't we? Like, we're going to be spending most of our life at Starbucks or at the White Spot meeting with people. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, why is it so important to continue to have meetings with people or connect with them when you're dealing with difficult people?
Well, number one, leadership is all about mobilizing people in the direction of a shared goal or objective. And so bringing good people, especially leaders, along with you is the primary leader's biggest job. You get your work done through people. People strengthen your reach and they extend your reach. So that's the leader's first responsibility, is to invest themselves on those people with expertise and leadership next to them. So yes, there is a lot of meeting, but that's kind of the leader's job, is to get everybody moving in the same direction. And this is where intentionality sets leaders apart from mediocre leaders. You know, you need to make these relationships count. You need to take advantage of those expertise, sit down for lunch with them, influence the influencers, and you'll spend less time reacting. And when they feel brought in, they also start to move with you instead of working against you. When you respect their expertise, they know you've got an ear to hear what they have to say. And their opinions are worth hearing. Listen, Paul, I don't know everything there is to know. And I don't have experience in every field that people in my congregation have experience in. So why wouldn't I be curious? Why wouldn't I pick their brains? Why wouldn't I want to know? I mean, that is the entire leadership bank account of the entire congregation organization, is everybody who's a part of it. So a good leader is wanting to take advantage of all of the leadership capital, experience capital that the congregation has to offer.
Mm-hmm. Because we do have it. Like, every congregation has more than just the pastor to lead them. They have the experience of so many different people. That's great. Anything else you'd want to add on Armchair Arnold and Armchair Ellis?
One of the ways of sometimes getting these people working for you rather than against you is potentially to gather them together and make an advisory council. I mean, they don't have any decision-making ability, but okay, at least you let them in,
sure,
and include them in your leadership planning.
Kind of an ideas, or a think tank almost, where you can bring ideas together.
And make sure they get all the right information so that they know what's going on and they're not just filling in the blanks with stories of their own making.
Sure, that's great. Well, let's move on to number four, the fourth of four difficult people to deal with, and this is Square Peggy. Why don't you talk a little bit about Square Peggy?
Well, Square Peggy is somebody that, generally speaking, we know and love and we have some compassion for, but they're the wrong person at the wrong time in the wrong place.
Mm.
So they're the classic square peg in a round hole sort of person. Every once in a while, you'll either hire somebody with the best of intentions who just isn't working out. Or there's somebody who desperately wants to be a part of your music ministry or children's ministry that really doesn't have the gifts and skills to excel, but they have a passion for it, but they don't have the skills to do it. And so a person who is a square peggy, they may have dropped the ball on numerous assignments. People that work around them, you know, see that they have an incompetence or a lack of ability to actually do the work that needs to be done. The people working with them begin to lose motivation because this person is always bringing down the group. And some people will outright complain. I've had, you know, parents come up to me about a children's worker and just face-to-face saying, this person is a disaster and my kids aren't coming until you do something about this.
Yeah.
And we all want to be nice because there's nothing unlikable, generally speaking, about Square Peggy necessarily, except that she can't deliver on what it is that we've asked her to do.
Right. I've already picked up that she's the most likable of the four difficult people. And so that maybe makes it harder to deal with her because we like her. She engenders or she stirs up some positive feelings, some empathy maybe in us. So why don't you give us some tips, or maybe you even have a story of a square peggy in your life, but help us understand how to deal with the square peggies in our world.
Well, quite often, you know, we bring in a square peggy on with every expectation things are going to work out, and we only find out once they're involved that this isn't going to work out. There is a way to deal with people who are underperforming or people who you've maybe put in the wrong position. There is a grace-filled way to deal with it, but it's going to take some love and some patience and some courage, okay? And so when you're dealing with a square peggy, somewhere along the line, you don't want to demotivate everybody else working with her. So you've got to be really clear. This is what this job requires. This is what this volunteer assignment requires. We need you to be able to do this, that. Make it very clear. Write it down even and saying, this is what the job. Sometimes when they see the job description, they'll realize, oh, this is above my pay grade.
Mm.
Other times they will jump in, they'll try to do it. When you start to see differences between what you've laid out as the job description and what's happening, then it gives you something to fall back on and say,
sure,
hey, Peggy, we agreed this was the job, but here's where it's falling short. And so you want to regularly review how they're making out. And somewhere along the line, you might realize that this person needs to be repositioned in my organization. Like, they're really never going to exceed as a choir member or, you know, whatever it is, the job that they've got done. And so you start to look for other places in your organization to help them find a place. And if all of that fails, and if you've been patient that far, sometimes in grace, you need to let them off and help them to transition either to another area entirely or maybe into another ministry organization if that be the case. Mm-hmm. But you always start with, you know, compassion. Let's make sure that we set them up for success by making it clear what the job is, hold them accountable to the job that we've described, help them reorient or find one that works better with their skills, if that's what's necessary. And sometimes you just need to have the courage to say, listen, this isn't working, Peggy. We're going to have to part ways, but we'll help you transition.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a huge amount of courage that for the leader to confront a square Peggy and to help there. Because, again, if it's someone that doesn't make us feel uncomfortable necessarily, they aren't pushing, there's not conflict there. What we're seeing is, oh, I wish they could do better. Oh, you know, just with the right resource or the right person alongside of them, or just a little bit of training or a little bit of time, you know, it'll work itself out. How many times do we say that? And what you're saying is no clear communication about what the job description is and talking about the gaps, that's really important. And really communication is, I tell couples when I'm doing pre-marriage, communication in your relationship is the one thing that makes everything else better.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I think what we're echoing here is that communication is something that will help make everything better when it comes to dealing with difficult people.
Yeah. And it's talking about, you know, being fair with people and recognizing that of all of these people, of the four that we've chatted about over the last couple of weeks, only Toxic Tony is somebody that you want to quarantine. Everybody else, you want to come alongside and see if you can help them be as effective as they can. You're working for their best interest.
Nice use of the word quarantine in our current context. So, well, this has been a very enlightening discussion, and I think hopefully very helpful for the listeners to be able to kind of spot some of these difficult people in our life, hopefully not to marginalize them or to label them in any way, but help empower people to have success in dealing with these difficult people, because like you said, these people are going to be in our life. These people are going to be in our workplace or in our church. And so it's important that we're able to deal and walk through this discussion. So Pastor Mick, I just want to thank you so much for joining us this month on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. Thanks for helping teach us through these last two difficult people. And I want to thank everyone listening so much for joining us on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. Also want to give a big thanks to our audio producer, Mr. Grant McAllister. He makes everything sound great. He wrote that cool jingle you're going to hear at the beginning and the end of the podcast. And remember, we do this podcast because when it comes to leadership, that'll do, just won't do. See you next month.